Welcome to the September 15th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and the sermon is entitled Finding Joy, delivered today by Pastor Nathan Williams.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always an honor to have an opportunity to open up God's Word together, and I just want to briefly say that my prayer and desire in this study of God's Word together is not to sway you, not to influence you, but my true prayer is that we as a church will just study God's Word, and God's Word will speak to each one of us where we're at. So if you'll open up to Philippians chapter 3, the great epistle to the church in Philippi by Paul. Let's go ahead and get there. We'll be studying verses 1 through 11. But I'm curious, as you flip there, how many people in this room has misplaced something before? Or lost something before? Can I just have a show of hands so I can feel better about myself? How many people have lost something? Okay, how many people have lost something in the past week? Okay. How many people have lost something since yesterday? Okay, who's lost something this morning? Okay. All right, I know who I'm talking to. And we can laugh about that. But I think the reality is sometimes it's easy to pay attention when we lose something physical. But when we look at our walks with Christ, sometimes we can miss sight of the fact that we can misplace our joy. Or we can misplace our joy in Christ. The true calling we have to follow Him. Because no matter what we come in with this morning, whether you feel like you're in a good spot, or maybe you come in with burdens that lay heavy on you. All of us desire to have joy in this life. We're going to see in Philippians chapter 3 that Paul writes to the church. So people who believe in Christ and who are following Christ, and reminds them of where their joy can always be found. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3 beginning in verse 1. I just want to read this passage, and then we'll pray over it and we'll study it. So finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the ability we have to safely gather and study Your Word this morning. But Lord, I pray that as we look at Your Word, Your Spirit will open our eyes to the wondrous things that we see here, that how we can find gain in nothing other than Christ. We cannot have true joy in anything other than Christ. And I pray that You will use this passage to mold us and shape us and convict us as a body of believers to put our hope and our joy in one thing alone, and that's Jesus Christ. I pray that You'll sanctify us in Your truth. They'll give me clarity of thought and get my thoughts out of this and let Your Word speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see in this passage, Paul unpack a very simple idea on how to find joy in the Christian life. The second fruit of the Spirit. You have love and then you have joy. And sometimes we throw joy out of the picture and forget that Jesus has died for us, not only that we can be forgiven for our sin, but that we can have joy in knowing Him and joy in living for Him. Amen. It's not just a burden or a duty. It's a delight in living and being with our Lord and having His presence in us. And we see Paul begin in verse 1 by saying, "Finally, my brothers," he's talking to the church. This hope isn't for those who don't know Christ. This hope is for those who have put their faith in Christ. And he says, finally, not because he's almost done. If you know anything about Philippians, he still has a ways to go. But he's just emphasizing one of the main points of this letter. The importance of finding joy in the Christian life. And he tells us very straightforward, rejoice in the Lord. Where he starts this passage off by telling us if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, our joy can only be in Christ alone. Our true joy can only be found in Jesus Christ as our Lord. And he makes two very weird statements. He says, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for me. I believe here Paul is reminding this church of a fundamental truth. And he says, it's no trouble for me to write this. It's no trouble for me to remind you of the gospel, to remind you of the good news of what Christ has done for us and that we can find our joy in Him. And he tells us, while we might have heard this before, he says, it is safe for you to hear this. It is safe for us as a church to constantly be reminded of the gospel and constantly be reminded that our joy cannot be found in the world but can only be found in Christ alone. I believe Paul sets this passage up reminding us the importance of daily and constantly. It's never a trouble, it's never a pain, it's never unsafe to preach the gospel to us, ourselves, to remind ourselves of the joy we can only have in Christ. And it's like kneading dough. You have to work at it, work all the ingredients in it in order to have flavorful bread. But in our Christian life, we must knead in this truth constantly. We must remind ourselves of the counterfeit things we run to for joy and throw them to the side and always come back to Christ and the hope we have in Him. And we see Paul make clear that true joy is found in Jesus Christ alone. So if you walk away with nothing else in your mind, I pray that we can learn today from this passage that true joy is found in Jesus Christ alone. And this passage shows us how we can experience true joy in the Christian life. We can experience true joy when we place our confidence in Christ alone. We can experience true joy when we measure our worth by Christ alone. And we can experience true joy when we set our hope on Christ alone. In these first few verses, we see this truth that we can experience joy when we place our confidence in Christ alone. Look at me in verse 2, where he says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. He starts off by giving us a warning of where we cannot find our joy. This church had heard the gospel. They had put their faith in Christ. But then people came along, false teachers came along, and started telling them, yes, you have Jesus, but you need to do these things on top of that. Yes, you have hope in Christ, but you need to also make sure outwardly you're following every spot of the law, every ritual and ceremonial part of the law, and you need to be circumcising yourself, which is a physical way that the Jewish people set themselves apart. And Paul likens those people to dogs, not cute pets that we have in our houses, but in this time, scavengers, disgusting, vicious dogs that would wander around, that were unclean. He says, look out for those people who try to tell you you need to add something to Jesus Christ. says they are evildoers who try to just mutilate the flesh. As we see a truth in verse 3, it's not outwardly that we are circumcised in Christ, it's inwardly. He says, for we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. We see Paul remind this church, and by virtue of where we are today studying the Word, he reminds us that our confidence does not lie in what we do. Our confidence does not lie in our performance, does not lie in how regularly we attend church or how long we have attended church. Our confidence can only lie in one thing, and that's Christ. Our confidence before God can only rely on one thing, and that's in Jesus Christ's work. We see him say, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. See that the Spirit of God changes us if we've put our faith in Christ. Colossians 2 talks about we're circumcised with a circumcision without hands. Deuteronomy 36 talks about how God will circumcise our hearts so that we can love him. And we see Paul remind this church that if you're in Christ and your faith has been put in him, the Spirit of God has changed you. In your circumcision before God, your setting apart, what makes you different from the world is internal, not external. It's the new life you have found in Christ, not the life that you live. And he says, we glory in Christ Jesus, or we boast in Christ Jesus. The true believer, the true follower of Christ can have joy knowing that the work of Christ is settled and complete and done. Amen. When Jesus says it is finished, he meant every word of it. So when we come and we, on our bad days, feel worse off, or when we have good days and we feel better than the next person beside us and we put our confidence in ourselves, or we put our confidence in our work, or we put our confidence in our wife, or we put our confidence in our spouse, we put our confidence in anything of this world, we're trying to find joy in something that cannot bring us true, full joy. Because all those things can let us down. But the work of Christ and the work of the Spirit in our life will never fail us. And if we rest in that, if we place our confidence in that alone, we're free to experience the joy of walking with Christ despite our past, despite our imperfections, despite our failings. And we can have the confidence to follow and serve Christ all our days, in every way, because he is enough for us. And we see Paul say, you might try to put confidence in yourself, but I have more confidence in my own flesh and in my own life than you ever will have. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was the goody two-shoes of goody two-shoes in his day. He followed the law perfectly. No one could blame him for being not enough by basis of the law. He was born to the right family, to the right nation. He did the right things. He was passionate. He was the overachiever. And he said he realized that his confidence never compared to what he found in Christ. The confidence we try to place in how good we are will always let us down. The standing we try to have before others and before God, the image we try to put off to others, will always let us down and leave us empty and without joy. But if we're free to rest in Christ alone, And we truly come to faith of putting our confidence in Him, we will have joy and freedom that we could have never found on our own. And we see if we put our confidence in that, Paul shows us something else happens. The way we measure worth changes. If you look in verse 8, we see Paul say, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Paul shows us that we experience joy in the Christian life by measuring our worth by Christ alone. And he tells us he counts everything as loss compared to the worth that he has found in knowing Christ as his Lord. Everything he used to run to, every good thing he tried to accomplish, or maybe for some of us, every sin we tried to indulge ourselves in, every compromise in God's word to try to feel better about ourselves or have more freedom in our life. Says all those things leave us empty. And if we measure our worth to Christ, it will always let us down. But when we find him, when Christ makes himself known to us, and we put our faith in him, we find something worth leaving everything for. We find something that if everything else passed away, every possession we have, all the beauty we have, all the health we have, all the comfort we have, all the accomplishments we have, if they all passed away, we would still have joy that couldn't be taken from us because we had Christ who is our worth. And Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have counted the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." The way to experience joy in the Christian life is not simply to wait till things are taken from us, but to realize that Jesus is to have the throne of our heart and our lives now. The possessions God has blessed us with, the family that God has blessed us with, the health that God has blessed us with, those may be beautiful blessings, but true joy is experienced in the Christian life if we have come to know that Jesus is better than all those things. And we begin to measure our worth and our fulfillment in our life by Him, in our knowledge of Him, not by the world. And joy is found in counting the cost, dying to ourselves, selling all we have, and following Him. Not letting any of the possessions we have hold us captive, but letting Jesus lead us wherever we should go. Paul says, "I count everything as loss compared to knowing Christ." The believer has joy because we have realized we have found something better in Christ than anything else the world can offer us. Something better in Christ than we could ever conjure up in ourselves by our own lifestyles and our own seeking for fulfillment. Christ gives us all of that in himself. And Paul says, "I throw all aside to have him." Back in the 1800s, when the California gold rush was happening, they called it a gold rush because people were going crazy about the worth and the value of the gold that had been found in this mystical land out west. And people would sell everything they had, pack up all they had, and go through not just a 3-day trip on the interstate, but through a painful, sometimes life-ending trip across America because they thought there was something of value. The worth of having the gold potentially was worth the loss and the cost. But we have come to know something more valuable than that. The one who made all that gold, the one who made us and made us for himself and made the world and made the beauty of creation, we were given him in Christ. And he must become to us more worthy than anything else. We worship him not just because it's what we do every week, but because in our hearts he is more worth to us and more gain to us than anything. And if we measure ourselves by that and realize that the hope of the gospel is that he has given us himself, even when we didn't deserve it, we will be blown away by a joy that no suffering in this life can take from us. No hardship in this life can steal from us. Though the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy, if we have Christ, we have something that Satan cannot touch. We have the one for whom we were made for. And in verse 9, we see the gospel summed down into one verse. He says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. We see here that if we look to Christ and put our faith in Christ, and we measure our worth by Christ, and we understand that when we put our faith in Christ, we're being given the most precious thing that we could ever have. The most satisfying, most fulfilling thing we will ever have. And that's a relationship with our Lord and our Maker. Sometimes we use the word having a relationship with God with so much, it just becomes a boring little word we use in our vocabulary at church. But our relationship with God is the most precious thing we have. And if we find our worth in other things, make idols of things of this world, we break that relationship. But we see Paul remind us, if by faith we put our faith in Christ, seeing that there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God or make ourselves righteous, but by faith in Christ and what he has done, we can be righteous in the eyes of God. We measure our worth by what Christ has accomplished for us. We will have the worth that we can never achieve on our own. And that freedom and that hope is a joy that no bad day can take. No shortcoming can rob us of. And we see that the righteousness is not ours, but it's Christ. The goodness of who we are is not in our own works, not on what people think about us, but it's on the eyes of what Christ is to us. And the worth of Christ now becomes ours, and we measure ourselves by that. We've all heard the phrase that Jesus dies on the cross to pay our debt. I think for some of us, we might look at the loan balances we have or the credit card statements we have, and that's a fulfilling idea of someone just to pay that debt for us and just have zero balance across the board. But Jesus does something greater than that. He doesn't just pay our debt. He deposits an inheritance into our account. We see a bunch of zeros in our bank account that we never got and we never earned. But he now gives us the steward in this life. And to live for him in this life. A relationship with God we didn't earn, but he has given us by his work. And that gives us a hope that is secure and certain because what Christ has done is certain. And we see Paul look ahead. Not only the way he can experience joy because of where his confidence is, or where he can experience joy because of the worth he has in Christ, but he can experience joy in the life he has, in our life as believers, because of the hope that we have in Christ alone. Look at verse 10 and 11. Paul says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In these two short verses, we see three rock-solid, beautiful sources of hope that allow us to experience true joy when we set our hope on Christ. And the first one I love to skip over, but it's right here. He says that I may know him. The hope that Paul has and that he looks forward to is a fulfilling relationship with Christ. The worth that Christ has given us by the cross and by our faith in him allows us to be in relationship with God. And knowing him is our hope that nothing can rob from us. And if we have come to taste and see how good our Lord is, that is the greatest hope that we have, is that we will always know Christ and always be with Christ, no matter what comes our way. I often think of celebrities. They probably have to be careful who they make friends with, because once you get really famous, it's probably easy to have a bunch of people want to hang out with you. But probably their greatest friendships are those that stuck with them from before they had the fame and the wealth. The people who are their friends because of who they are, not because of what they can give them. The people who are their friends just because of the joy they have in being together, not the influence that they gain by hanging out. Same way Paul reminds us that our hope, we'll get to the power Christ gives us, the hope God gives us. But the bedrock of our hope is that we can know God. He can become a friend to us. As Adam walked with God in the garden, we can walk with God by his grace. And that is our hope. And that is our joy. But we see Paul also say that in the power of his resurrection, and that he may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, we see that we have a hope of having purpose through our pain. We have a hope that we can have joy in the middle of our pain because we know God is in control and has a purpose for it. Paul says that he may have the power of Christ's resurrection in him, becoming like him in his sufferings. When we find true joy in the Christian life, it doesn't mean all pain is erased. It means we found a joy greater than any pain. We found a hope greater than any suffering. So even in the midst of our hardship and our struggles, we can have joy knowing that our hope is secure, that we are becoming like Christ through our struggles. Paul makes a point in his letter to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16 through 17. He says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Paul understood the hope he had in Christ, and he set it in Christ alone. So when physically sickness came, when financial hardships came, when failings and embarrassments came, outwardly he felt like he was wasting away and falling apart, he knew inwardly by the Spirit of God and by faith in Christ, he had a hope of becoming more and more like Christ and inwardly being renewed day by day. And that is our joy now in this life. But we also have a hope of what's to come. It's the eternal weight of glory that isn't worth comparing with anything we're struggling with now. And we see Paul show us in this passage back in Philippians in verse 11 that his hope is in Christ. He can rejoice in the Lord because the hope he has that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. He has joy because he knows death itself cannot rob him of the hope he has in Christ. Nothing can rob from him the future hope he has of eternally living with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth for all of eternity. where our bodies now might waste away and might struggle. We might feel like we're fading and getting tired or getting weak. We can have joy in the Christian life because if our hope is in Christ, we have eternal glory that's not worth comparing with anything we lose now. We will have a new body in a new earth that is more glorious than anything we understand now. We're seeing everything in black and white right now. And one day I believe we'll see things in ultra high resolution color when we're brought into the new heavens, the new earth with Christ. And Paul says, because of that, we can rejoice now no matter what comes our way. We can rejoice now if we place our confidence in Christ. We can rejoice now if we measure our worth by Christ. And we can rejoice in Christ now if our hope is in Him. And for us as a church, if we're believers in Christ, that is an encouragement that I need every day. So I need the little dough of my life working everything together. I need to be daily reminded of the joy I have in Christ. Amen. Reminded of the Psalm of David, the Psalm of Moses in Psalm 90, where he says in verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so we can rejoice and be glad all our days." My question for us is, are we seeking our joy in Christ? Are we seeking our fulfillment in God? Are we looking for it in other places? Because anywhere else will leave us empty and dry, hopeless, without worth, and without confidence. But as a church, we can rejoice in the Lord because of the gospel of Christ, that we have Him if by faith we believe in Him. So let's never forget that as a church. And always remember what we have been given that we do not deserve by the grace of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your encouragement to us as believers, Lord. That if our faith is in you, we can have true joy that nothing can take from us. And God, I pray that today that we'll be reminded of our need to trust in you every day, to rejoice in you every day. But if we're not believers, we cannot have this joy. So Lord, I pray that this morning that you will do a work in our lives and in our hearts here today to where if we do not believe in you, God, we will see our need for you and come to you today and trust in you with all we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.